Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 12/3/18, just only 28 days left, exactly 4 weeks left to the year. Then you'll hear our annual market wrap-up. But by popular demand, Mickey Fulp is back. We missed last month, but we got him now. Find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com. Hey, questions, comments, etc., email us kl@kerrylutz.com. Mickey, hey, we're back.
Yes, Kerry, only 16 shopping days until Christmas.
Well, tis the season to be buying, right?
As tis is.
Deck the halls with advertising. I don't know if you ever heard that spoof on Christmas, deck the halls with bells of holly, but it's deck the halls with advertising. You know, it's a good little reminder of what everything has come down to here. But hey, more importantly, we're back. We're pretty consistent. We've missed two monthly reviews in the past 6.5 years, Mickey. That ain't too bad, you know?
You're right, Kerry.
And hey, and not only are we back, but the stock market is back. Look at the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, Russell. I mean, they all came back in that month of Thanksgiving.
Well, still we have very volatile markets in November, but they were positive after the worst October since 1998, 20 years, and that was the Asian contagion debacle. Dow was up 1.7%, close at 25,538. S&P 500, 1.8%, close at 2760. NASDAQ was laggard as big tech continues to get hit, and rightly so, in my opinion. It closed at 7331, up 0.3%. And finally, the Russell 2000, after being down 11% last month, made a slight gain, up 0.5% to 1533.
Yeah, well, all in all, you know, a pretty good comeback. We'll see if it's a dead cat bounce or if it's the beginning of a new market leg up. My personal opinion is we're going to see a new leg up. But hey, it might take a little time. I think the ability of the Trump administration to keep pulling rabbits out of the hat, at some point it's going to run out. And then we'll find out what's really holding the market up, if anything. So let's look at Canada and emerging markets and the VIX.
Well, the Toronto Big Board actually was up for the month for first time in four, closed at 15,198. But that index is down something on the order of 7 or 8% over the year. Toronto Venture Exchange had another bad month. It's been down, 9 of 11 months this year, closed at 590, down 8%, as tax loss selling is wrecking havoc and will continue to for a couple of more weeks. It closed at 590. Emerging market index had its first positive month since January, gained 4% at 995. And finally, we mentioned the volatile markets. The VIX was above 20 most of the month, closed at 18.
Yeah, that VIX seems to be one of the better buys that one could have done 6 months ago, if only we knew then. I mean, we had a suspicion. You and I talked about it pretty often, about rising volatility, but it really did come home the past quarter for sure. The past 6 months, it's really, volatility has definitely picked up. Let's look at our currencies, our money, and I have a special comment for something at the end, but go ahead. Tell us about the Dixie, the dollar exchange.
It's not money, Kerry, okay?
Hey, and you're never going to
we'll
hear me.
We'll get there, though, in a minute.
Absolutely.
The dollar held on to that 97 range, closed at 97.2. It was pretty volatile, bounced around plus or minus half a point around that for the month. Basically flat. Euro again flat at $1.13. 10-year Treasury dropped last week 0.2 of a point, down to 3.03, based on very dovish comments by Powell on interest rate raises. We expect one in December, but he backed off the idea that there would be three next year. And finally, Bitcoin lost 37%, closed below 4,000 at 3961. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that in 16 months. And that's when it was on its way up, its exponential rise, and now it's exponential fall.
And just to remind you out there who are listening now, we put out an advisory on December 25th, 2017, sell half your Bitcoin. I wish this was the end of it, Mickey, because this brings it down 80% off its peak of roughly 19,400. I think we're going to 1990, and then I think we're going to zero. My personal belief is that all of the current crop of cryptos are doomed. There is a major undetected flaw, not in the blockchain. The blockchain's immutable. Unfortunately, how you get the blockchain is not immutable, and we are going to see all of these kleptocurrencies wiped out and go to zero, Mickey.
Okay, Kerry, I'll leave it to you.
Well, hey, on to something that we both much more near and dear to our hearts, metals prices. And there, it's like some real weird stuff is going on in these metal markets, isn't it?
Well, they are all mixed up. Gold's been the most steady. It's been range bound since early August from about 1190 to 1230, but most of that time is 1200 to 1225. Really, since that period of time, it's dependent on the daily perturbations of the US dollar. Closed at 1222, up $8 on the month. Silver is at its low at 1415 since January of 2016, when all the metals markets bottomed. It closed at 1415. Platinum is at a 10-year low since the beginning of the global economic crisis in October of 2008. It closed at 797, down 4.5%. Palladium, on the other hand, is at an all-time high, all-time. Closed at 1170, up almost 10% over the month. You know, it's right now, at the end of the month anyway, it was $50 off being in parity with gold. That makes no sense at all, Kerry.
Yeah.
And finally, copper is in trade tariff limbo. Closed at 282, up 7% on the month, but it's in severe backwardation, something I can't ever remember seeing it, greater than 2-year backwardation. And this has permeated the entire industrial metal complex. Zinc was at a 3-month zinc contract was at an all-time backwardation, $110 a ton on Friday. So the metal markets are completely messed up. A lot of this has to do with trade tariffs.
You think it's tariffs, or is there something else going on here, economy? Well, we're going to go to...
No, it's just strictly tariffs. You know, zinc inventories are at a 20-year low. Copper inventories are low. It's all about the speculation in the market that this so-called trade war with China is going to end badly. And despite very strong supply demand fundamentals for all the industrial metals.
Think so, huh? Well, it's an interesting conundrum, and it's been going on for a while. It's definitely gotten more extreme over the past several months, but I just wonder if it's telling us something about the economy, or maybe the tariffs, or maybe both. Well,
no, it's in my opinion, it's strictly speculation. You look at supply demand fundamentals of all these metals, and they're very strong.
Okay, well, let's see what happens next there. So moving on to energy, we had some real volatility there, some gut-wrenching markets, and a little bifurcation between nat gas and WTI.
Well, this is true. Oil's had a horrible 2 months. WTI down 33% in 2 months. Brent's not much better. It's down greater than 30% over the last 2 months. Oil closed WTI at 51.45, Brent at 59.51. This is basically about oversupply as Saudis have increased their production 1 million barrels a day. They're all-time high of 11 million barrels a day. Meanwhile, the U.S. is also at record production at 11.7 million barrels a day, world's largest oil producer, and that does not even account for condensate and natural gas liquids, just an oversupply. So something's got to give. OPEC's got to give. The Saudis got to give, because the U.S. shale producers are going to keep on keeping on, despite the drop in down to 50 bucks and change. Good shale oil producers are still profitable, and we have not seen drill rigs come down. Meanwhile, Henry Hub has soared over the last month, up 43% to 465. This actually started in about mid-October. It hit 3.25 the end of October and surged on very low inventories in the gas patch. Part of this has to do with lack of pipeline capacity. I mean, there are producers in the Permian Basin that basically are paying pipelines to take their oil or their gas so they can continue to produce oil, because as you know, they go together in a lot of wells. So also driven by a very cold fall in the northeast tier states. Meanwhile, uranium had a very good month, up 8 months in a row. It was above 29 most of the month. It's taken a little pause over last week, closed at 28.75 for a 2% gain. Slow and steady rise. We like that. Uranium patch is starting to look quite positive.
All right. So uranium is looking good. So let's just go to our ratios. We got a few there that are worthy of note.
Yeah. Well, you talked about the discombobulation in commodity space, and you know, we track six ratios every month: precious metals and oil ratios. And I flagged four of them this month because they're highly unusual. First off, gold silver ratio at 86.4. This is rare. Since 1971, it's occurred 6% of the time. Most of that was from 1980 to 1983, when the ratio was above 80, and also 7 months in 2018. So something's got to give there. Meanwhile, the platinum to gold ratio at 0.65 is by far and at all-time low. Platinum to palladium ratio at 0.68 is low since 2000, when the market was being manipulated by the Russians and General Motors. Finally, in energy, the WTI to Henry Hub is at 11, and we haven't seen a ratio that low since 2008, right before the global economic crisis.
Pretty interesting there, those numbers. The market's out of whack. So is there just no demand for platinum? Is that because diesel cars are going down the tubes? What's happening here?
Well, it's a variety of issues, but diesel cars going down the tubes, especially in Europe, is a contributing factor. But basically what's going on is there is an oversupply of platinum, and they're working off stockpiles in South Africa. Meanwhile, demand for vehicles, despite the so-called electric vehicle revolution, the demand for gasoline-powered vehicles continues to soar. And the real problem here is there are no standalone palladium mines in the world. So there's no easy correction to this. All the palladium is produced as a byproduct of platinum mines or nickel smelters. So very inelastic. response from the palladium market. You know, it seems to me, and we've talked about this before, the obvious solution is very easily done, and it's going to happen, is automakers are going to start switching back to platinum, because if this price paradigm stays the same, it's a much better catalyst, much more efficient. The only reason they moved to palladium in the 1980s was the price was so much cheaper than platinum.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to watch this, and the fact that it's gone on for as long as it has.
It's been less than one since for 15 months now. We never thought we would see it get there. As close back as February of 2016, so less than 3 years ago, that ratio was almost two. Wow. Now it's at 0.68. Crazy market.
It's crazy, and it's been so protracted. That's what I find really incredible. You know, you'll have these irrationalities, these anomalies in markets, but they'll generally correct over time. We're going on years here now, Mickey. Years.
Well, I can argue that it really got out of whack when it started getting down, say, less than 1.5. And that's only been 2 years, 2 years now, Gary. But really, a lot of it has to do with the weakness in platinum price, too. And that ratio is seldom less than one. And it's been less than one now for 4 years. And basically, the fact that we've got too much platinum, there's an oversupply of stockpiles in South Africa.
Uh-huh. So it just comes down to supply and demand, eh?
That it does, Gary.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens next month anyways. Check out our sites. Mickey's is mercenarygeologist.com, Twitter feed at mercenarygeo. Ours is financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and Twitter feed is at Carrie Lutz. Mickey, we will catch you next month. Same place, same channel. And hey, happy new year to you and yours. And let's see what the markets have in store for us in 2019. You got to get used to saying that, right?
Well, not for another month.
Yeah, another 4 weeks, exactly. So we'll talk to you right after the first of the year, Mickey. Be well to you and yours. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Carrie.